Hi, super creative listeners. It's Mandy here from Bookity Book Books, your very own locally owned online indie bookshop, a virtual sanctuary for the book obsessed. We offer books that are chosen to challenge and inspire, selected from a wide and wonderfully diverse range of authors from home and abroad. Today, we would love to offer an exclusive discount to super creative listeners. Use the code SUPER2023 for 10% discount on our website. Visit www.bookitybookbooks.co.nz. Terms and conditions are in the show notes.
Hi everyone, I'm Katie Dawson and welcome to Super Creative, a podcast that delivers candid conversations with inspiring women who are thriving in business. Today on the podcast, I speak to Media Flavel, founder and owner of Henny Collection, a women's activewear and athleisure brand, but also a community-led, purpose-driven movement built to inspire change. By women, for women, and Indigenous-owned, Henny is leading the way as one of the world's most size-inclusive and diverse activewear brands, currently stocking 13 sizes from extra extra small to 8XL. It's safe to say that this brand truly champions body diversity. Media's journey began in 2018 when she started Henny Collection in her garage. She embarked on a mission to create activewear that embraced all body types. After a relatively slow first year of business, word of Henny's mission soon began to spread, and from 2019, the brand has seen remarkable growth, growing from strength to strength. But as you will see in this conversation, Henny is so much more than a brand. Media and her team have created the most incredible community who have been integral to the business's success. Over the past 5 years, alongside building the Henny brand, Media has opened and since sold a gym called The Movement NZ, just relaunched her supplements range under the name Henny Body, and since we spoke, has also released a Henny Collection app. Media is a powerhouse. I have been following her journey through Instagram for a while now, and I have wanted to get her on the podcast for some time. I have been in awe watching from the sidelines / behind my phone at not only the creation of this incredible brand, but the part that has had the most impact on me is the genuine, active, engaged, and passionate community that Media and her team have cultivated that support and contribute in so many ways to the brand's success. I seriously took so much from this conversation with Media. As usual, we discussed her business journey, in real talk, the highs, the challenges, and everything in between, and I loved it. I cannot wait to see the continued growth and evolution of Henny Collection and where this brand is headed. I know you'll love my kōrero with Media as much as I did. And once again, I want to say a big thank you to my favourite online book retailer, Bookity Book Books, who are the sponsors of this episode and my absolute favourite place to buy my books online. Thank you, Mandy, for supporting this podcast and championing creative Kiwi women in business. Okie dokie, let's get on with the show. Hi, Media, and welcome to my podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I'm going to start off by asking you to describe who you are and what you do.
Okay, my name is Media. I'm from Rotorua, no Ngāti Rangi Wewehi me Taranaki iwi aho. And I am the owner, founder of Henny Collection. So we're a women's activewear brand.
Now, can I start off by saying I am in awe of what you have created. And I have to say, you probably get that quite a bit. Because actually, I think when I've known of your brand probably for the last couple of years, probably for as long as it's been on Instagram, you know, pops up, you see people wearing it. I see people wearing it all the time. And for this podcast, I'm always sort of shopping around, seeing what's happening. And I was like, oh, activewear, that'd be a cool business to talk about, explore, whatever. And so then I started following you personally, and then I started following your journey a bit more closely as an interested observer. And I'm blown away by this company, and probably bigger than that, community that you have created. Like, you have created a movement, right? Yeah. And it's incredible to watch. And it's really, that's one of my favorite things about Instagram, is seeing these incredible women like doing amazing things. Yeah. So that's really the reason I wanted to talk to you, because I'm like, how have you done this? Because I try not to read too much about a business before I talk to them, but I know you started this in your garage.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're from Hamilton, which I'm also from Hamilton. I'm very proud of that. It's a true sort of starting from nothing kind of story. So I want to hear all about it.
Mm-hmm.
Where we start, I like to go back to the beginning. Where are you from? What did you study? Did you study? What was your life like before Hine?
So I wasn't planning on getting into business at all. That wasn't part of my plan. My passion was in like performing arts. I worked in the TV industry actually for 7 years. And then there were many reasons how Hine kind of came to my mind, but if I was looking back at the journey back in 2016, 2017, social media was becoming quite big. I was doing makeup as well. I was a makeup artist. And so a lot of my work was online on social media. And I think a lot of frustration built. And the frustration was the lack of diversity, the lack of, in terms of marketing and branding, I'm going to just say it there, is just there was always that one particular body shape and size and type of female that was being portrayed across all clothing brands and all across social media. And so there was a bit of frustration there. But I think the boiling pot moment for me was when I started my own health and fitness journey and struggled to find activewear clothing that fit me. And being a size extra large at the time, size 16, which is actually the average size here in New Zealand, and probably across the world, to be honest, is size extra large. And at that time, I couldn't find anything that I could fit for me personally. And so it was just a lot of frustration that led me to Hine Collection. And like I said, there was no desire to become a business owner. I had no business experience, but I don't know, I think because of that frustration that was built, it just sparked this passion or this motivation to create something for women of all shapes and sizes, all ethnicities, just to represent as many women as I possibly could. And that's where Hine Collection, started. This was back in 2017, it was an idea.
Mm-hmm.
2018, it launched.
It's interesting because as you're talking, I'm thinking right now where we sit in 2023, there is quite a lot of diversity now in terms of brands, but it's a very short time ago that there wasn't, isn't it? And we've come quite far in quite a short amount of time. And I feel like activewear, I just know that experience so well. But there's a big difference between being frustrated and going, I'm going to start a brand. Mm-hmm. So the idea comes, you're mulling it over, obviously, you're thinking about it. At what point do you go, stuff it, I'm going to do it? And what do you do? Like, where do you start?
It was really hard because I think an idea can be an idea, but until you actually dive into what it means to actually start that idea, I think that's where a lot of people give up already, is because they have this passionate idea. They find out what it actually takes to start it, and then they just go, nah, I can't do it. That's too much. And
That is me 100%. I've done that with about 5 to 10 ideas.
And a lot of people. And trust me, I feel like I was probably there as well. But I think because of how passionate I was about creating this brand, but also because I had told a few people, like my close circle, that held me accountable. It was like, no, you've told people now, which means you have to follow through. And I think even having those people, even like my mom and my parents and close friends, like they were the ones that would keep going. It's all good. And so I think if I didn't have that, I think it would be a very different story, because it's not just putting in the work to create a brand. It's also the money to start it.
Yes.
So obviously without that financial support, I think it would have been really, really hard. But to be honest, the way I started it was just Google, and probably how most brands start was just Google search, how to start a clothing brand. And it took me, I'm going to say 9 months to actually launch it. And 9 months of trying to create a brand that was an idea, and you're trying your hardest just to get it out there, get it out of the market, and then 9 months later to finally launch it. And we had to launch with pre-orders. That was just how we had to do it financially to make it actually work. It was hard. It was really hard. I would never sit here and say it was easy, because it wasn't.
I think most people that have had any form of business, or it looks often looks fun and easy, but it's very often not. So a lot of time in this podcast, I love to know about the money part, because I think a lot of us are like, how do you do it? Did you self-fund? Did you have to put a lot of money up at first? Was it a big chunk up ahead, or because you did pre-order, were you able to spend on a shoestring until that money came in? How does that work?
No, so usually, I'm just speaking on in terms of clothing. I'm not sure about other industries and things, but most with clothing, you usually have to pay a deposit first to even start production. And so we had to use our house savings to start that. And then you have to pay the remaining balance. So it's 30% deposit, and then you pay the remaining balance either when they ship it or when it arrives to you. So it just depends on which kind of supplier you get. Sometimes they'll be pretty harsh and say, no, you have to pay it before we ship it to you. And so financially, it's tough unless you do have savings, unless you do get support, unless you get investors. There's different scenarios. There's different ways that you can do it. But for us, yeah, doing the pre-orders worked, because then we were able to pay for the product before it arrived. But even with pre-orders,
you still had to put.
Yeah, you've got to put money into all sorts of things. Packaging, the couriers, all those sorts of things. Marketing.
Tell me about that launch process. So you would have had to invest in a website.
Yep. That's the thing with business, is that in the beginning, you're doing everything on your own. Yeah. And you just have to try your hardest to do everything as cheap and on a budget as possible. So in the beginning stages, I did the website, I did the social media. Probably the biggest cost for me was the packaging. And what else was the biggest cost? Obviously just the product. But in that first pre-order, it didn't do as well as I probably hoped. And that's because we're a new brand. No one had tried us. Pre-orders, people don't like pre-orders. They want things instantly. And so I think it was quite risky for us doing pre-orders. And so the people that did pre-order were probably friends and family or people that were following me on social media. But it wasn't until the product actually arrived and people started wearing it, people started sharing about it, that the orders started picking up. Mm. And yeah, with business, the beginning stages, so hard. It's very hard. And to be honest, it gets even harder as the business grows.
Yeah. Also a common theme in this podcast.
I think if you just get over the fear of beginning, of starting a business, I think like after that, you're just riding the wave and just figuring it out.
You put too much money in it to go back by then. So you just have to go forward, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So how many products did you launch with? What was your range?
No, it was just a bra and leggings in three colors. That was it. And I didn't have a designer back then, and I have no design experience. So it was just like a basic bra, basic legging, but I found a beautiful fabric that worked. The sizing part was actually the struggle in the beginning. We could only go to size 4XL with this particular company that we first started with, and they would only go to size 4XL for us. And even for them to do to 4XL was huge. Like they had never heard of it before. And so if you think back then, it was a struggle to find anything past size 12, size 14 with most brands, even the biggest brands like Nike and all of that. And so it wasn't the norm. But when I approached this company, the supplier, they were in Bali. So I chose Bali just because it was close and not close. I just knew it was going to be a bit more ethical. And so I approached this company and they were just like, are you sure? Are you sure you want to go to 4XL? So we did 4XL, but I knew that if I really wanted to say, we are the most size inclusive brand, I needed to push even further. So that's when I started exploring China, went through so many different suppliers and found one that would finally let us push. I think we ended up going up to, at that time, I think we went to 5XL. We changed our fabric to make it more suitable for all sizes, the more compressive fabrics. And I think everything started changing after that. Once we expanded our size range, we found better fabrics and quicker turnaround times, because Bali was really just took so long.
Right.
Yeah. And so everything changed. And then so now to today, we go from extra small all the way up to 8XL, which is
wow,
very different, new, and probably one of the first in the world to do that.
I think it's your brand, and probably there's maybe a few others in the world that do it, but that have also given women license to wear activewear if you are a larger size. Because I have to say, I have spent my life covering
my activewear body up, the longest t-shirt. And I'm not, I am 14, 12 to 14, 14 bottom, 12 top. And I have spent my life wearing the longest t-shirts I can. And I have noticed even with myself that, I mean, I wear bike pants now, which I never would have done. But it's because of brands like you. So I can only imagine if I was in some of those larger sizes, having the confidence to go, hey, actually, and that looks beautiful. So my question is, tell me about the initial response. You launch, you said it was a bit slow, the pre-orders, because people are like, oh, I don't really understand that. Mm-hmm. You launch, and I'm assuming you launch pretty much with social, like using your word of mouth.
Yeah.
Tell me about that launch. Tell me how it started to build and what the reaction was.
Like I said, so slow in the beginning. I reckon it was probably year two for us. So a whole year of kind of it being pretty slow. And I think the second year, I remember because it was February 2019, I had just launched like a new summer collection. And it was our first ever summer collection. And we went to Te Matatini. So that's the National Kapahaka Festival. Yeah. So it was in Wellington. And we launched this new collection down there. And I think that was the moment that I was like, wow, this is actually bigger or becoming bigger than I ever expected. And because in my mind, I think when I started Henny Collection, it was just going to be a side passion project sort of thing. I never expected it to take over my life. But I was still doing like my makeup on the side and working in TV. And so when we arrived at Te Matatini and we had like queues of people for the 4 days straight, and the line of people was going past everyone else's stalls right to the, it was just the longest line ever. And that was for 4 days straight of just nonstop people coming into our stall. And that, yeah, that was definitely the moment that I was just like, wow.
You're like, oh, here's my market research. This is what people want.
Yeah. And so it was after that, because I think after having such a slow first year of trying to build a brand, trying to build a business and trying to get ourselves out there, get people talking about our brand, get people trying it. And so to see people in person, like, you know, lining up or hours just to get into our stall, just to shop our product. That was like the moment that I was like, okay, I'm actually going to go 100% into this business. Yeah. And we came back to Hamilton and that was it for me. I was just like, okay, yeah, let's go.
I'm in.
I just didn't look back after that. I stopped doing my makeup and just put my whole entire focus into growing Henny Collection. And then now we are, so next year in February, that will be six years of Henny Collection, which is pretty crazy to say.
That's so cool. And tell me about the business today in terms of like your range, like how many SKUs do you have? How many ranges?
Oh, I can't even tell you this many.
You could have said it. Because it's really diverse across in terms of the type of product you sell now. It's not just a bike pant or a legging and a bra top. It's massive. It goes across leisure wear as well as active wear and all sorts, right?
Yeah. Activewear will always be our core product. That's what we're known for. That's why people shop with us is the quality of our activewear, but also obviously having all of our such a massive size range. But we have started expanding a bit, doing some dresses. We did dresses last year and beginning of this year. And we do swimwear. We do kids wear. We do some men's wear. We do one drop for our men every year. But yeah, athleisure, definitely. Like we do the hoodies and track pants and we just try and, I don't know, just expand our range and explore different things. Like I want to do sleepwear next.
There's a real buzz around every drop though, isn't there? Like I've watched that on socials. Like it's a momentum builds when new stuff comes out. People really want it. And I guess I've actually got so many questions for you, but one of them is, at what point did you realize the fact that you were actually building a community and how important that was for you guys to be a voice in that community?
It was definitely that moment at Te Matatini when like seeing people lining up, that's when I realized, okay, we have a community there. But I think there's been many moments, if I'm honest, but because we work behind closed doors. So there's social media and there's so much interaction between our customers on social media, but it's not until you see them in person that you're like, wow, these are real people that love our brand and all that. Yeah. But I think for us, I reckon it was Hamilton. So we had a pop-up in, I'm going to say last year, or was it the year before that? We had our first pop-up at our gym in Hamilton. So yes, we created a gym as well.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that because I was like, I think it's called The Movement.
Yes.
And I was like, and I think that that's yours, but then on your personal bio, you're just Hine. Yes. And so I was like, it's not. Okay. Yeah.
I'll give you a quick story around that. Yeah. And this is probably where the community stuff came in too. So back in, I'm going to say 2020, my sister, so she's a personal trainer. She was living with me. She was working in Hine at the same time. She was helping with social media and all that kind of stuff. And I said to her, like, why don't we start doing some boot camps and actually bringing the community together? Because, you know, I don't want to just give them clothing and go, here, you go and do what you want with the clothing. It's about actually empowering them or encouraging them to actually use it and actually take care of themselves and, you know, get fit and all that kind of stuff. And so I said, why don't we start doing some boot camps? So we were like hiring out a space here in Hamilton. And every single time we'd do the boot camp, there was a cap of 60 people and it would always book out every single time. And that was when I was like, man, we've got a massive community here of women that would just show up. Some were even traveling down from Auckland just to come to the boot camp. And so it just got to the point where I just sat down with my sister and I said, why don't we just open up a gym? And so we're The Movement, because we always called it the Hine Movement. The Hine Movement was like our community that we had built. And that was just through a Facebook group page that we just built, that community of women that were on health and fitness challenges, or we're just wanting somewhere to stay motivated or connect with other women. That's where the Movement NZ kind of came from, because we didn't want to call it the Hine Movement because then males wouldn't. Males, yes. It wasn't for them. But
wanted it to be a separate business, but
we wanted this gym to be for everyone, for the whole family. And so we built and opened the Movement NZ in 2021. And just a couple of weeks ago, I actually sold it to my sister. So now she owns it.
Oh, yes. Oh, okay. So that's now the she story. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And so,
awesome.
And that was purely just because she's done an amazing job building it, because she was managing that gym. But also because I just don't have the time anymore.
I was going to say, you're probably like, yeah, I don't need that.
To give any of my focus to that or energy to that gym. And she's doing an amazing job. So yeah, she's taken over that.
Amazing.
And so that's where the Movement NZ has.
Right. Okay. And actually you touched on it, but you've got this Facebook group. And actually I didn't click on that to see how many, but I'm imagining it's got a lot of members.
I think we've got about 12,000 people on that page. Yeah.
And in itself, that isn't particularly common that a fashion brand would have an insider group that is a community. Do you remember when you set that page up?
Yeah.
Did that take off quickly?
So the reason why I started that group page was actually because I wanted to do a 12-week challenge personally.
Right.
And yeah, so I created that page for me and my friends to actually do this challenge together. And so I opened it up to our community. Oh, the Hine, and this was early stages of Hine Collection. This was like 2018. So right at the beginning, and I opened it up I put it on my social media page, and I said, and Hine page, I'm pretty sure, and said, hey, I'm doing this 12-week challenge. If you guys want to come over, we can, you know, create the space for us to safe space to encourage each other, motivate each other, and help each other through this 12-week challenge. And we had hundreds and hundreds of people come and join. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. Now
you're
not
thinking,
oh,
this is a business idea. You're not thinking this is anything. You're just like, I just need some accountability, some motivation.
Yeah.
I'll get some of my friends.
Even group page name was like Hine Movement or Hine 8-week challenge or 12-week challenge or something. So it had nothing to do with the business and all that. It was just creating a safe space for women to come and join me on this challenge. And so when I saw everyone coming in, I was like, oh wow, I have to actually do this and follow.
Yeah, there's your accountability. Now you're gonna do this.
And then basically after that, we did the 12-week challenge, and then like women just started joining and joining and joining, and then everyone was just posting recipes, they were posting them working out, and that's where the community really built over the years. And then we started using that platform or that page as a way to do our announcements, to let people know what's happening with Hine, if we're doing some events or if we're doing some pop-ups or things like that, boot camps. It was our place to share. It was a bit more intimate with our community rather than putting over social media. It was people that genuinely cared about our brand and wanted to hear everything. And so that's where it's built. And now it's at 12,000, which is pretty crazy when you think about it.
Yeah. But I think it's just so cool. It's such a refreshing take on business that obviously you are selling things, but it's more than that. And you can just see it straight away. Like it's... people are buying into it because they are wanting to be part of something bigger, that community, and it becomes more than just buying a pair of leggings because I need something to wear. And I just think it's such an incredible way to do business because it is refreshing. You don't see that a lot, and yeah, it's just inspiring. So my next question is around when did you go in this journey? When did you go from it just being you or you and your sister or to actually, okay, we need a warehouse, we need a team, all of that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Did you stop packing orders?
Yeah, no. So in the first year of business, so my kid's dad, my ex-partner, it was just, so he was working full time and then I was the stay-at-home mum who packed the orders around the kids. And when they were at school, daycare at the time, they were at Kohanga at the time. So that was my time to pack orders and all that. So my kids have literally been born into Hine Collection and have just been around it their whole lives. And so that first year of business, it was just me and him when he could. And then I'd say the second year of business, I brought my first person on who did the admin so that I could focus on everything else. And she was a friend. So I hired a friend, which is not the best thing for business.
Yeah.
And so she came on and then it just got to the point where I just knew we needed to move out of my garage because it was just insane. I wanted my garage back. And so we found a warehouse here in Hamilton, moved to this new warehouse. And honestly, things just grew so quickly in that second year of business. So I ended up hiring four more people. And then my ex-partner, he came on full-time as well. So there was probably about seven of us, I'm pretty sure, by the end of that year that we're working in Hine. Yeah.
How cool is that? And where are you at now? Like in terms of, are you still around that seven?
We're at 11 at the moment.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So what does a typical sort of day or week look like for you then? Like, how do you split your time?
No day is ever the same. It depends because at the moment we co-parent our other kids. So I've got two kids. I should have said this at the start. I've got two kids. So my daughter's 9 and my son is 7. And so when I do have them, obviously it's mum life. It's dropping them off in the morning. And then I usually finish work early so that I can pick them up. But during the day, no day is the same. It's very different. I could have a full day of Zoom meetings or meeting people, or it could be just focusing on design, or it could be working with my team on certain things. It could be at photo shoots. So every day is very different. But usually, yeah, I'll wrap up work around, just like I said, every day different. And then my wind down is, my me time is usually go to the gym at 5:30. And then in the afternoons, it's just try my hardest to switch off from work and just chill, spend time with my family. But yeah, it's always very different.
Yeah. How, you touched on the design. You mentioned at the beginning that you were, I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
Fair of it. Yeah. You must have become an expert by now. Have you got a design team as well now, people that have had experience in that area?
So the second year of business was when I was like, okay, you need to look at your business and figure out where you actually need help the most. And look at the places that you know that you just do not have skill in or are not good at. And that was one, obviously the designing part. And so I contracted a fashion designer and she's still with us today. And she now works for us full time. So that's great. And yeah, so basically I knew that I needed help in that area. She came on and we just worked together to create all of our new collections. We usually do like seasonal drops. So we'll do like a winter collection, summer collection. So it's quite easy when you do it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's
it's quite, because I was just thinking there is a there's an art to all of fashion, but there's an art to activewear, right? And technology changes and fabric changes and all that. So you must,
that's important.
Yeah, it must have been a wild ride in that sense of just getting it right. And I guess dressing 6XL body is different to dressing an XS extra small body. So it's like all those nuances.
And I'll tell you what, I'll be 100% honest. It's taken us 5 years to get to a point where I'm comfortable or confident enough to say, okay, I think we're there. I think we're finally nailing it. And that's just trying to figure it out, find the right fabrics, get the right styles and fits and things to cater to all women. Because you're like, if you think about it, extra small to 8XL, that's 13 sizes.
Yeah.
You're trying to,
it's a big difference. Yeah, absolutely.
It's been the biggest challenge by far, is trying to cater to all women, or as many women as we possibly can. But that's what I mean, is that I feel like I'm finally at a place where I'm like, okay, I think we're nailing it. And I think we have a lot more to do, but I think feeling confident enough that, okay, we're nailing it or getting it right finally 5 years later.
Yeah.
But that's part, you look of it. At those part big, of the process.
And you look at those big global brands, they're not getting it right. Even in the regular sizing that they produce, every pair of like leggings I've had over the last 10 years has been different, but it might be the same size. And it's, I guess it is like, it is just an ongoing piece of work, right?
But I think that's why it was so important for us to get it right, because I don't want to just be another brand that just adds a few centimeters on just to say that we are size inclusive. I wanted to actually make sure that these pieces fit all those different sizes as it goes up or as it goes down. So making sure that we're actually like walking the talk and saying, yeah, we actually are size inclusive. So
it's so cool. Okay. So you've talked around this, but if you could encapsulate it, what are the values or ethos that drive your brand? Your business.
Me being Māori myself, it's important for me as the business owner to make sure that we are living and breathing tikanga Māori and being carrying my values or my tikanga as Māori. And I think the biggest one for me is whanaungatanga. And so that's making sure that our team are always working together and are on this journey with me, rather than just being staff members that turn up to work every day. I want them to be a part of the whole journey and a part of every single conversation that needs to be done. So that's very important for me, and obviously community, that's about kotahitanga, whanaungatanga, bringing a community together. So that's probably like the biggest or most important one for me. I think a big one is being transparent as well, is being as transparent as possible with our customers. And I think that's why so many appreciate our brand, is that we are always open and honest about every step of the journey.
On that, I love your community chats. Again, is that transparency, right? This is what's happening. This is what's coming. We're checking in. And it is that sort of embodies that value of transparency.
And connection is the word that's coming to mind. But it is about connection, is that making them feel valued, making them feel important, making them feel seen and feeling like they are also a part of that journey.
I was going to say, you've talked about that as your team members, but also I feel like what you're saying is that's also your customers as well, are part of that journey. They have a voice.
They definitely do.
That's cool. Okay. You've talked about some of these already, but like biggest highlights in business so far. What are you the most proud of?
I think definitely us getting to the point of having all those sizes, because we pushed hard to get to the 13 sizes. But I was actually touching on it before, but then we ended up talking about the gym. But I think the moment that I was the moment that I've been like, wow, was we had a pop-up at the gym in Hamilton. Yeah. And we filled the gym up with a whole bunch of product, and it was like a pop-up sale sort of thing. And we had, I think in that day, 3,000 to 4,000 people line up, but it was non-stop, and it went all the way around our road. Like, if you saw it there, we've got videos and photos. And the whole day these people waited in line to come into this thing. But it was just one of those moments. And there's like a photo that I took, that I went upstairs to one of our offices. That's how much I needed to just sit down and take it all in, just to have a breather and go, oh my gosh, is this actually happening? And I think that was like probably my personal biggest highlight, was seeing our community show up. They came from all over New Zealand.
Wow.
We had people fly up from the South Island just to come to this pop-up. So I think that was the moment for me that will always be a highlight. There were probably others, but I think like when people ask me that question, it's definitely that moment. There was another moment, and I'm happy to talk about this. There was another moment we launched a collection in 2020, and this was after lockdown. And I think many businesses probably experienced the peak after lockdown because everyone had money and went spending.
No one knew what was to come.
And there was another moment that we launched a new collection, and then I think it was like 2 or 3 hours in, we made $1 million in sales. And that was another moment that I was like, what the heck? It was crazy. But I got to talk about this openly now because it was definitely a highlight for me.
And was also, how cool is that? And oh man, I'm a big fan of being like being supportive and championing people doing amazing things. Mm. And that is just such a massive achievement. I feel like I'm getting teary listening to you talk about this. You've probably talked about this so many times, but did you get emotional?
That moment?
In those times, like seeing those people come to the pop-up, seeing those sales, does that make you go flippin' heck?
It's not until later, like in the moment, I'm just, I don't know, maybe I'm in shock.
Adrenaline,
definitely. Yep. There's a lot of adrenaline. And that's what I mean. In that, when we hit that pop-up, I needed that moment to go upstairs and actually take a breather, because I feel like I was on autopilot or something. Because people want to talk to you, I just needed that moment to just take a breather. But it's honestly not until probably like a couple of weeks later that I'm like, oh my gosh, that actually happened.
That's so cool.
Yeah, but I definitely do. Like, the thing is that there's so many highlights, but there's like a lot of low moments as well. Is that, yes, those were amazing moments, but there's also moments that kind of tear you down and make you actually want to give up. And I will always have those highlights in my heart, because it's things that I can always look back on and go, remember when that happened? Remember when this happened? Just to lift me back up. But
So on that note, I do have a kind of a question around challenges, and obviously business is tough, as well as with all the highs come the lows and all that kind of thing. So tell me about challenges. What sort of challenges, are there any kind of key challenges that you could talk about that you face and how you potentially have turned them around or moved on, how you've approached them, moved on, etc.?
With business, you've got a new challenge probably every week. And it could be with supply. Like, you could have a whole collection arrive and it's faulty or something like that. Or it's the wrong fabric, it's the wrong legging. So there's all those kind of challenges. There can be financial challenges. And I think for most businesses, after that second lockdown, that was the hardest to come out of. Because I think the second lockdown was when people were just like, nah, I'm going to be stingy with my money. I'm going to stop spending. And even me personally, you're, oh man, this could happen again. You've got to prepare yourself. And so people weren't spending money. And I think that was probably the hardest part for so many businesses, and so many of even of our competitors or other businesses that are doing similar things, they've all shut down. And so, and even multi businesses, which is really hard to say, but I think so many struggled after that second lockdown. And then obviously we went into a recession. And so I think the biggest challenge for us was just trying to stay consistent, or trying to like keep building the business while all of this was happening, and not letting what was happening around us or outside affect us.
Zach, do you remember that being quite a considered effort? We need to dig down and we need to shut that out. Or do you think it was just a case of let's just get through it?
Yeah, if you can imagine, if people aren't spending money, then how can businesses keep the wheels turning? Or how can you be sustainable? So I think it was that point where it was trying to stay relevant as a brand, as a business. And I remember one of the things that we did was that we did an 8-week challenge, and that was all for free. But it was just to say to our community, to our customers, like, we're here to encourage you and do all these sorts of things, but also keep supporting you.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's like, that's just inherent in you, right? Like, it's inherent in you and who the business that you've built. That's what you would. And again, you're not doing that going, and maybe at the end you'll buy a top. But you're just like, look, this is all we can do for now. So let's just do that and keep things moving and keep things going and see what comes from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So yeah, okay. Many challenges. And I think that the hardest one by far was definitely coming out of that second lockdown and trying to build the business back up. But I think so many businesses can relate to that.
Mm, definitely. So on that note, what is the most important lesson you think you've learnt on this journey so far?
Okay, it's really hard because I've been through a lot of personal things as well over the last almost 6 years. And I think when you have personal things interfere or take over you when you're running a business, I think if I didn't have the team that I have and people around me to pick up the pieces when I couldn't, or to even like just have my back or get me out of this rut or these experiences that I was going through, I think Henne wouldn't be where it is today. And so I think my biggest lesson is having that solid team and keeping them around and, yeah, just making sure that they know how important they are to me and how valuable they are and all those sorts of things. But I think, yeah, I don't know if that's a lesson, but sorry, so many.
No, I think that's great. I think, yeah, that's a powerful lesson, actually, building the right team. And I guess it harks back to what you said before about building a team that as much a part of the business as you are.
There's so many times in business that you definitely want to give up. And I've had many of those moments. I probably had one just last week. That's how tough business really is. And I think trying to stay passionate, trying to stay driven, all those sorts of things. But if you don't have that team around you that are saying, remember, this is what we're achieving. This is what our goal was. This is what our mission is. If I didn't have that, then it would be a totally different story. So I think that's the most important thing is having those people around you in those times that you want to give up, but also making sure that if you ever stop feeling passionate about your business or if you ever get into that place, it's always maybe just take a step back. If it is just taking a week off, if it's just taking a weekend off just to reflect and have that moment to just sit with your thoughts, get rid of all the negative thoughts or things that are going on and then coming back and then go, okay, I'm ready, let's go, that sort of thing. But yeah, just a lot of personal things that have gone on in the last 5 years that definitely could have made me want to give up with business. And I suppose it happens with a lot of people, but unless you have that solid team around you to keep you going, then yeah.
I love that. That's cool. Okay. Who or what have been the biggest influences in you, in your work, your business?
Our community.
I love it. They're the heroes of the story.
They really are. And the reason why I say that is because everything that I do is because of them. So it could be a collection. So every collection that we do, I ask them first, what do you want? Tell me what you want so I can know what. And it could be colors. It could be, what fabrics do you like the most? What do you want us to do this summer? What do you want us to do this winter? So it's always from community feedback, from communicating or connecting with our customers, our community, and doing what they want, really. Yeah, so in the terms of influences, definitely the community. And what I was talking about before is the same with them, is that they hold me accountable. So there's no way that I can give up because I've got this whole community behind me going, you cannot give up on us. You've come this far. You've done all of this. There's just no point in giving up. Definitely our community. Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. And what companies or brands do you admire, like from a business perspective or just personally?
Who do I admire? I think they're actually our competitor, but I actually love watching their story is LSKD. So they are based in Australia, but I love seeing brands just grow massively. And they have a community too. And so I love looking at what they're doing and comparing to us and all that kind of stuff. And it's not like I look at them and go, oh, I hate that they're doing this. Or it's not like a negative feeling towards them. It's admiring their journey and being inspired because I'm like, if they can do that. So they've just launched a store in the US. And I'm like, that is amazing. And it just inspires me and motivates me because then I'm like, if they can do it, so can we. That's probably one brand, but there's probably many others that I do love following. And I literally stalk brands on social media. Because it's cool for me, it inspires me, but I can also see what they're doing, how they're connecting with their community, and it just gives me motivation and inspiration.
Cool. Now, you've already given us many gems. I'm going to take so much out of this conversation already, but what is the best business advice you have received, or what is the best business advice you'd or what is the best piece of business advice you'd like to pass on?
I always talk about this only because I personally think it's the most important. So this was given to me from my father, my dad, and I always pass it on to others. So it's the importance of trusting your own guts, trusting your things, trusting your own thoughts, trusting your heart, because that was what I've done. That was the most important advice that he gave me for life, you know, life decisions, not just business. And if you feel like something isn't right, then it's probably not right. And that's honestly how I make my decisions. And it was just a decision I made yesterday, which was a huge decision, but it was because it was just something inside of me that was saying, isn't going to work. And I think that you need to make a call on this. And so I literally told my team, I have to trust my gut on this. And it keeps telling me, it's bugging me and telling me that we shouldn't go ahead with this. And it's the importance of trusting yourself in moments and not letting outside noise or people tell you differently. Over the last 5 years, I've had so many different people tell me things. And I always talk about this one, about changing my name, changing the name of Hinea to an English name so that it would actually succeed. I trusted myself, trusted my gut, and shut all that noise out. So it's those sorts of things, is that always believe in yourself and have confidence in your own decisions and your own thoughts. That's my biggest advice.
That is great. I love that. What is the future for your business? So where are you heading, and what are the plans you would like to share, you can share?
Yeah, so at the moment, we are looking to expand into the US and overseas. So trying to grow in Australia even more, because that's our second biggest market is Australia.
I was going to say, we didn't actually talk about that. Yeah, where do you sell? And are you all direct to consumer, or do you have stockists?
Not yet.
No. Okay.
We actually just signed a deal with someone in Samoa, so that's cool.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And also Rebel Sports. We've just signed with Rebel Sports, so there you go. We haven't actually
announced
that. Okay. We haven't announced that.
I love it. Okay.
But yeah, we have joined with Rebel Sports, so that's one. What was that? What were we talking
about? I diverted, but you're here and you're in Australia currently.
So we ship worldwide at the moment. So we have customers all across the world, but we've never actually put effort or time and money into actually growing in these different markets. And at the moment, our future plans are that we want to grow even further in Australia and also the US. And it will be a massive job. I'd already know it, but that's definitely my dream is to grow in the US.
And actually, one thing I was going to ask you about is Hinea Body.
Mm-hmm. Supplements.
Supplements, yes. Which you were shooting yesterday. Yes. We were just talking about that before. You don't have supplements yet, do you?
So we launched a supplement brand called Level Up Supplements. That was, I'm going to say that was last year, I'm pretty sure. Was it last year? I just get confused with all of our years and drops and launches and things, but. So we launched Level Up Supplements, and it got to a point. So we did collagen and we did protein, but it got to a point where I thought, why do we have two separate brands when it should all be under one? It should all be under Hinea. And so we have been working on this rebrand for a year.
Right.
And just yesterday we did our first shoot for Hinea Body. So we've changed it from Level Up Supplements to Hinea Body, and we are launching that next week. So we're launching a pre-workout and a protein. Yeah.
So you just got lots of things going on. I love
it. Yeah, but it all has the same purpose.
It's all relevant. Yeah, it's all relevant. Yeah. Okay, so outside of work, what are you passionate about? What brings you joy?
Going home to my family, our homestead. So any chance that I get, I'll go home, and that's where I can just take everything off and just be able to relax and be myself and be with the people that I love the most. Outside of work, I have no life. I have no life outside of work. It's honestly just gym and then spending time with my friends and family.
And what does success look like to you, personally, professionally, or both?
Success for me is being able to have a business that can run without me so that I can be a mum. So that I can give my whole attention to my family and to my kids. Probably not a usual answer from people, but
no, you know, to be fair, actually, the biggest answer is usually balance. And that's similar, right? Like being able to have this incredible business, but actually
right,
to mean that you can spend time with your family. That is a common theme, which I think is awesome. Yeah. So look, that's the end of all the big questions. There's a few little extra questions at the end, but that's all the big business questions. And you have not disappointed. I feel like I've taken so much. I feel like I could wire on and ask you a million questions because I feel like your journey is so nuanced and varied and there's probably a million other stories you could talk about. But thank you so much for sharing what you've shared so far. And I know so many people will just get so much out of this. So the last little part is just quick fire questions.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly just because I'm nosy. So, 3 items you couldn't live without.
Phone, my drink bottle, and lip balm. So even now, I really need it. I've got dry lips.
Yeah, I know. I'm about to say. Okay. Which app for business and or life do we need?
What are the main ones that I use for business? Shopify.
You don't have any
Instagram,
secret,
Instagram.
Instagram. Okay,
that's key for business. Instagram.
Yeah, isn't it? I know. Yeah, it really is.
Majority okay. of my day on Instagram.
Yeah. especially for you when you're building a community as well, because that's how you connect, right?
To. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What have you watched lately that we must see?
I don't watch much TV.
I was going to say, do you get time to watch TV?
No, I don't really watch TV and I can't think of anything on the tip of my head. The most recent thing I watched was a romance. So that's not.
It was I love like, it. Love okay.
First Sight or something. So no, I don't watch much TV.
Okay. When we are in Hamilton, where should we go to eat or drink?
Honor Roll Eatery, hands down. Favorite. I tell everyone to go there.
Where's that?
They are on Valau Street, but they're just opening up a new eatery in Hamilton East, but that's favourite.
Okay, good. Good to know.
You have to go there.
Okay. What music are you currently listening to? What should I add to my Spotify playlist?
Oh, I'm old school, so I love just anything from back in my high school days. Yeah, I'm boring
I love
when it comes to music.
Yeah, I'm a bit boring too, which is why I've got the question, because I'm always like, what's cool? What should I listen to? Unsurprisingly, actually, most people I talk to are probably like us. Yeah, I just put on whatever's
Beyonce.
On the thing. Yeah, I love it. Okay, do you listen to podcasts? And if so, which podcast should we never miss?
Tony Robbins, hands down. He's my favorite. Gary Vee is a good one. Those are probably my 2 go-tos. If I can see that they've got something new, then I always just go and listen to
it. So you're a business gal. Like you're just listening to like motivation.
Whenever I need some kind of motivation, if I need any kind of just to pick me up or get me back on my head back on track, I'll go and listen to Gary Vee or Tony Robbins.
Love it. And do you cook? What's your go-to recipe that you cook for yourself or others?
Lasagna. So I'm actually vegetarian.
Also mine. Oh, yeah.
I'm vegetarian, but I make these like a new vegetarian mince and I make my lasagna with that and people don't even know that it's not meat.
Ah, okay. I love it. Can see the pride in your face. That's
yeah,
awesome.
They love it. So it's always my go-to whenever I'm cooking for people.
Love it. Okay. And finally, do you read? And if so, what should we read next?
Start with Why.
Okay.
That's the best.
Sinek.
Yes. It was at a time where I definitely needed it and I read it and now I make everyone read it.
Hmm. Cool. I think before he came out, no one ever talked about a why, did they? And now in business world,
you need a
thing,
why.
Right? You need your why.
And that's why I always tell people when I'm giving, I don't know, advice or something, is that you have to have a why, you have to have a purpose. And it's so cliche, but it's so true. If you don't, then it's going to be a tough journey for you. Mm. But luckily for me, I've got always had this massive purpose and drive and community and things like that. So that's what's always carried me throughout these last almost 6 years.
Mm. Hey, that's it. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. You're a busy lady. I appreciate you giving me time and sharing your journey so far. And I am going to continue to watch you online and see
Thank
all the incredible
so
things you achieve. It's been so cool talking to you and hearing your journey so far.
You're welcome. It was awesome to talk. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening. I would love to hear what you think about the podcast, and if you wanted to tell your friends about Super Creative, I would just be ever so grateful.
If you'd like to keep listening, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And if you wanted to rate and review, that would be amazing. For more information, find us at Super Creative Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Bye!